Good morning, everybody. It's a nice morning, isn't it? Sun's shining. Good to be together. My name's Tim, if you don't know me. I fill in occasionally around here now, so it's good to be together in God's house to look at a new series we're starting today called Hooked on a Feeling. I know some of you are going, whatever. Okay, it's an old song. One thing before we get into this lesson, I want to just remind all the men, our men's retreat is this weekend, and if you haven't signed up, try to get signed up, guys. We really are looking forward to being together and talking about We Are Soldiers. Really excited about this year's men's retreat. So we're a new series called Hooked on a Feeling and learning how to master our moods or manage our moods. That's what I want to talk about today, is just this idea of how do we manage our moods. Are you a moody person? Yeah. Yeah, well, you get in the mood. I'm in the mood. I'm not in the mood. We'll say things like that. I'm not a very emotional person. You know, the thing is, we're all emotional. We work with it differently. We manage it differently when you stop and think about it. And the thing is that emotions are at the core of everything you and I are. It's at the core of all of us. It's also at the core of God. God's the same way. He has emotions as well. He's very emotional. When you read the scriptures and you read the Bible, it tells us that you see moments where God is sad, God is angry, God is perplexed. There's times when God is full of joy. You see all these different places in the Bible. And Jesus is no different. Jesus was not a cold, impassive person. He felt compassion when he saw people. And there's times that he was sad, overwhelmed by it. When the Bible says in Isaiah that he was a man familiar with sorrow, it was true. He lived being disappointed and responded to it with emotion. He was an emotional man. Times he was happy. And times that, he wasn't happy at all. At one time, he's making a whip. He's in the temple and he starts making a whip. And this isn't a whip that you use for animals. This was to beat men. That's what it was. It's that kind of whip. And he walks in the temple and he's turning tables over and he's driving these guys out. And all the disciples are like, wide-eyed, what is going on here? And look what the Bible says here in John 2 up here on the screen. It says his disciples remembered something that was written about him. It was prophesied about him. Zeal for your house will consume me. And it's interesting that Jesus is consumed by zeal, by an emotion, but he's not ruled by it. That's important to remember. That yes, he's very just, oh my, you know, very passionate about something, but it doesn't rule his life, causing him to do ridiculous things. I mean, Jesus is about to die. We find that out later in the Gospels. And so what's he doing? Look at what he says to his disciples. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. He says here in Matthew 26 up here on the screen, to the point of death. He says, I'm so sad, I'm about to die. You ever felt that way? You're so sad, so hurt, grieving so much. I don't want to live. He says, I'm feeling like that, guys. Stay here and keep watch over me. I may pass out over this. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm really close to dying over something that's about to happen. He's about to die. And he's thinking, I may die before I'm supposed to. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is worked up. And like Jesus, you and I are not made to be calloused and cold and stoic. We're not droids. I'm amazed at some of the technology we've got now. Have you watched any of these YouTubes where they've got these robots that look so lifelike? They blink and they grin funny and then they fall down, you know, but you know, they're so lifelike. Yeah, but they're really trying to, they're having trouble still capturing the emotion, you know, like Spock in Star Trek, you know, very logical, very non-emotional. I'm on the down low when it comes to feeling. And there's probably one episode where he starts feeling and everybody's like, oh, it's so out of his character. I feel your pain. And he starts crying. And everybody's like, what's wrong with Spock? He isn't supposed to have any emotion. Yeah. And some of us here, we go, that's me. I'm like Spock. I'm a droid. I'm a robot. turn and look around. There may be a robot sitting next to you. No, it's not true. There's no robots in this building today. We're human beings. We just handle our emotions a little differently than maybe the person next to us. But we're made to feel. God formed you to feel something. And He gave you His emotions. Joy, anger, sadness, and a host of others. But sometimes these emotions get to the best of us, don't they? They lie to us. They're kind of deceptive. And yet these emotions, we have influence our beliefs, how we process information, how do we respond to things that happen to us. It forms our worldview, how life works, in other words. Sometimes an emotion signal is an internal signal inside us that tells us, watch out, be careful, that makes us run. I'm so glad I have that occasionally, because when a dog is coming after me and he's got his teeth out, I'm glad an emotion called fear makes me get going and get moving. So sometimes it's designed to be good, and it can be good. And yet there's other times when fear can be so awful to us. It can dominate us. It can hold us back from enjoying life. Again, emotions, they form everything. They promote good health. Your health, your physical health, is connected to your mental health. And it's in our mental health is where all these emotions come from. How we feel. Sometimes an emotion can protect us, and sometimes an emotion can motivate us. Sometimes we just feel like, I gotta do something, and that we have this courage, this inner resolve that comes out. We get angry about something, and we say, I've had enough. I'm gonna do something about it. It gets us off our blessed assurance. Yeah. That's what emotions do. But the thing is, a gut feeling sometimes can mislead us. I've got a gut feeling about this, and it could be wrong. Because that gut feeling comes from the mind. Look at this passage here in Jeremiah. A human heart, this is still up on the screen, we haven't got to your notes yet. A human heart is more dishonest than anything else. It can't be healed. Who can understand it? You ever felt like that? I don't know why I do what I do. I confuse myself sometimes. And I mean, how many times has your feelings failed you? You felt a certain way, and then you were wrong. It led you to say something or do something. You go, what was I thinking? I wish I could take that back. I got worked up. I'm one of those kinds of people that gets worked up real easy. People work me up. My wife, sometimes the boys would be getting in trouble and they'd be doing something. She wanted me to confront them. And I was like, I don't see the big problem. She goes, you don't see the big problem? And she'd keep poking and poking and poking. Finally, I go, I see the big problem. Now go get them, stick them. And I'd go take care of the problem. But I was all worked up. And some of the dumbest things came out of my mouth. And some of the dumbest things I did because I was all worked up. Ooh, I got fooled by this thing called emotion. Now let's look at your notes. Up here on the screen and on your notes. Look at this passage. I love this passage. If you trust your own thoughts, you're a fool. Wow. Thanks. Well, if you trust your own thoughts, it's a fool. Why? Because your emotions are in these thoughts. He says, but if you live a wise way, you'll be safe from danger. There's something about that. He says, I don't know if you caught that. He said, don't trust your thoughts. Not all your thoughts. Don't trust your thoughts. The heart can be deceptive. And so can your emotions. You can feel something, but be wrong, totally wrong about it, based on an emotion. It's dangerous, he says. But look at the promise there. But if you live a wise way, he said, if you can manage your thoughts in a wise way, and the only wise way I know of is God's way, His wisdom. If you live in a wise way, you'll be safe from danger. It'll bless your life. So I want to talk to you now about five secrets. There were 50 points. I got it down to five. Five secrets to managing my mood. Okay? And I think these do work. Okay? Number one, I realize I can choose my mood. I've got to believe, I got to, listen, folks, I've got to admit something. I choose my mood all the time, and so do you. We just need to admit it up front. And I can. You know, God gives us the freedom. Next year's church camp theme is on freedom. And we're looking at what are we free from and what are we free to? What are we free for? You know, God gives us this incredible freedom. We live in a free country. And by the way, because of this incredible liberty that we have, it comes with grave responsibility. Just because I'm free to do whatever I want doesn't mean I should come into your house and take whatever I want. No, of course not. Freedom has some responsibility, and God sets us free from mismanagement of mood or free from sin. But one of the things he wants me to know is that you've got a responsibility, Tim. You can choose how you feel. I don't know about that. Well, look here. Let's read some passages. Here's Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool expresses all of his emotions, but a wise person controls them. Wait a second. A wise person what? Controls them. How does he do that? He chooses. I can't help the way I feel. I've said that so many times. I've wore that record out. The thing is, you can. You can. It's all in your head. How many times has this happened? This happens to me frequently. My wife and I are going really out. Ring, ring, ring. I'd answer phone. Hi. What's going on? Oh, it's good to hear from you. What happened? The phone ring? Has the phone got that much power? No, it's not the phone. I know how to flip it on and flip it off just like you do. We know how, on a dime, we can change our mind how we feel. Denise is talking to me about my 50-year reunion. She goes, you just seem so blue and down. And I'm going, well, it's because I saw everybody and they're so old. And then I took a picture with them and I couldn't find my face because I blended right in. And it was kind of depressing and kind of sad. And then you see the board over there, all the dead ones. And you're going, man, I don't know. There's going to be a day I'm going to be on that board and yada, yada, yada. And she goes, are you going to be okay? And I look at her and I go, and this is how it happened. I go, you know, I am going to be okay. Why? Because I live with a schoolmate. Why am I missing the ones that I don't see? You went to school with me. She goes, well, it's about time. You snapped out of it. We can turn it on. We can turn it off. And what I learned from all this is that if that's true, then it's true that my emotions are fickle. They go left, right, up and down like Tigger. Gets on your nerves, you know, and my emotions are erratic. But that doesn't mean they can't be controlled. Like a car swerving all over the place, just grab the wheel. Sometimes it's just grab the wheel. I can choose them. I can choose my emotion on how I'm going to respond to things. Paul's in prison. And by the way, it's not just any prison. This is not a minimum security prison with color TV, you know, and a vending machine. He's in a Roman prison. Folks, that's an awful place to be. And look what he says here to the church at Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. How can you say that, Paul? I choose it. I choose it. The greatest power you possess that God's given you is choice. And you can choose what kind of way you want to be. I'm reading a book. Occasionally I get books that I read just for fun. I don't know if you've ever read Don Rickles' book, Rickles' book. It's called Rickles' book. And it's just hilarious. But I bought one from a Joe Rogan podcast, Diamond Dallas Page. He was interviewing Diamond Dallas Page. Any WWE fans we got in here? Okay, all right. You know what you're talking about? The Diamond Cutter, you know? Diamond Dallas Page. He was an incredible wrestler. And what a guy. And he's on Joe Rogan, and he's talking about, he's like, I got this book I just got out, and he just had the cover. It said Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It. Oh, What's that about? He goes, I was wrestling WWE. I just signed a $3 million contract. I'm on top of the world. And Kevin Nash, 6'10" is this guy, holds me in the air and throws me down. I have people ask me all the time, is wrestling fake? I got news for you. Gravity is not. He said, I went down and crushed 2 vertebrae in my back. I'm done. Doctors are saying you'll never wrestle again. You're out. So I'm sitting at home, crying, feeling sorry for myself. What am I going to do? I just lost a $3 million contract. What am I? And my wife comes walking up out from the basement. She's covered in sweat. She looks refreshed. I go, what have you been doing? She goes, I'm doing yoga. You ought to give it a try. Yoga? No, man. Real man be caught dead doing yoga. Now he does his own kind of yoga. He says, this is not your mama's yoga. That's what he calls it. Okay. 3 months later, he's back in the ring doing all that fake stuff. Wins the title 3 times. That's how what he did to Diamond Cutter, you know. I know I don't give it justice, but 68-year-old man doing the Diamond Cutter. I'm reading his book. And right off the very first paragraph or two, he goes, I had to do something. I had to quit lying to myself, and I just had to own it. And what is it? I needed to own the health of my body and my mental health. So I had to stop lying to myself that I could never do anything. I had to stop listening to people who lied to me. I had to listen. He's doing it this way, self-help. I had to say to myself, I can do this. You see some of his videos where he's helped a guy, a veteran, who jumped out of, he was in Desert Storm and different things, and he crushed his back so bad he couldn't move. And he transforms him, loses 170 pounds, and now he can do a handstand by doing this guy's yoga. It's got me interested. I want to know what I love about it was the title, Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It, Taking Responsibility for My Emotions. I'm talking strong today. I'm talking tough today. But maybe sometime this week, I'm going to get all weak-kneed and get all emotional and get caught up in my crap. Okay? But today, I'm good. I understand I need to own it. And I hope you do too. There's power in this. God's given you that power to take responsibility for how you feel about things. Like Paul, who says, I choose to rejoice. When he says, how does he say it? He says in 1 Corinthians 9, it's something like, you know, I don't run. He goes, you need to run in such a way as to win the prize. I think it's around verse 24. Run in such a way as to win the prize. Everybody who goes into sports or whatever goes into strict training. That's choosing, see? And they do it for a crown that doesn't even last. I do it for a crown that lasts forever. So I'm just not running aimlessly. I've got a plan. And I'm not just swinging at the air. I've got a target. No, I beat my body daily. And then he says, I make it my slave. I make it my slave. What's he saying? I control a lot more than I realize. Now, it doesn't mean sometimes you're not going to be overwhelmed or I'm going to be overwhelmed. We're mad. We're sad. We have loss. It hurts. And what do I do with this? I'm just saying is the first thing I want you to realize is if you're overwhelmed with an emotion now, fear, whatever it be, I'm a big fraidy cat. Fear has kicked my butt for years. But I've realized I can choose. I can choose courage. I can choose boldness. It all starts with a choice. I can choose God's wisdom, and with God's wisdom, I can learn to manage my emotions. Look what he says here. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, this is James now, when they come any kind your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What's that word consider mean? Well, check it out. Consider means to think it over. Well, not just think about it. Choose. Choose it as an opportunity. Choose it. Look at it this way is what James is saying. Instead of looking at the way you always have, look at it another way when you're facing trouble. And you can choose joy. You can experience great joy. Number two, if I want to manage my mood, I bring my feelings to my Father. This is a big one. When I turned 40, I decided to read the book of Psalms. Middle-aged, let's read book of Psalms. So I start reading the book of Psalms. And I noticed something. And I mentioned this at a preacher's meeting. Let me tell you, you don't want to go to a preacher's meeting. A preacher's don't even want to go to a preacher's meeting. Because you're with other preachers, and as you're talking, they're judging everything you're saying and calling you out. And they asked me to teach at the preacher's meeting. I'm like, oh. So I thought, well, before I get started, I'm talking or kind of yucking it up. And I go, you know, I've been reading through the Psalms, and I noticed something. This is before I get up to speak. I'm telling this guy, I noticed something. A pattern in David. I say it this way. David is sad. David is mad. Then David's glad. He goes, well, I hope you got more out of Psalms than that, brother. Oh, that just fills you with confidence when you get up in front of preachers. You say, they're awful to each other. They're awful to each other. But that's the pattern I noticed. You read the Psalms, you read through them, you'll notice David starts off sad or mad, one or the other, or mad, and gets mad, and then all of a sudden he's glad. And I discovered something, that when you're honest and open about how you feel and you bring it to your God, your feelings change. Things begin to change. They slowly, slowly go from one emotion to another. Look at this in Psalms 30 on your notes here. David says, I praise you, Lord. What do you mean, David? I praise the Lord because you rescued me. You did not let my enemies laugh at me. Lord my God, I prayed to you and you healed me. You lifted me out of the grave. You spared me from going down in the place of the dead. Sing praises to the Lord, you who belong to Him. He's recommending, oh, you need to be praising God to us. He says, oh, sing praises to Him. Praise His holy name. His anger lasts only a moment, but His kindness lasts for a lifetime. And then He says this, we've sang this, crying may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I could cry all night, but it ain't gonna last. Why? Because joy comes in the morning. Why? Because I'm praying through it. I'm working through it. I'm wrestling through it. I'm going, God, I don't know how to feel about this. I feel like this. I don't know what to do. I vent. Man, I'm bothered with you, God. Why aren't you? You say, can you talk to God that way? Apparently you can, because David does it a lot. Now, I'm not suggesting you always talk to God that way. But when you're feeling bent and bothered, when you're PO'd about something, I was reading this morning. I did a real quick read. How long, Lord? Just if you want to stop listening, Google it. Google in Bible Gateway. How long? You're going to see how many Psalms David goes. Well, how long are you going to sit there and do nothing? How long am I going to put up with this? How long are you going to put up with that? You think, man, David, you're going to get struck blind if you keep talking to God that way. No, it's because he's venting. He's getting it out. He finds peace. I don't want to sound sickening here. There's puking and then there's puking. And after a good puke, don't you feel better? I'm just saying, I've noticed that. Dry heaves don't do it for me. Got to have some substance, you know, some volume. But once you get it out, you just feel, I'm good. I'm good. Everybody else is sick. They're not doing so good, but you are. You feel better. And God can handle your puke. Like a 4-year-old asked me, does God make everything? I said, yeah. Does he make boogers? God makes puke. Yeah. He can handle it. He can handle your puke. Just get it out. Talk about it. There's something about that. When I talk to God, I find courage. When I vent to God, I find relief. When I pray to God, I find comfort. When I'm anxious and I talk to God, I find peace. Look at Philippians again. From a prison cell, Paul says these words. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Everything? Everything. You mean everything? Well, that's what the Greek word means. Tell God what you need. I love this. Look at that. I don't know. Tell God what you need. God, I need this. And thank Him for all He's done. What's that got to... Why thank Him? Because sometimes when I'm praying, that's when I discover, oh, God's been doing some things. And the combination of, this is what I need, and thank you for doing what you've done. Because what happens? The results are, then you experience God's peace, which blows your mind. That's what He means, which exceeds anything we can... His peace will... Then it says this, not only will it blow your mind, it'll manage your mind. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So when I'm not in a good mood, when I feel like I'm in a good place, I go to a good place. I go to the presence of God and I just tell Him everything. I don't know if you pray this way, but I do. I go, God, why do I feel this way? I feel this way. I'm worried. I'm bothered. What's going to happen? You know, what about that? What about that? What do I do? What do you want me to do? You know what I find when I'm talking to God about all this and getting all this out? All that stuff that's suppressed in there, the scares, the angers, whatever it is, it's getting out. And all of a sudden, there's room for this peace. I go, you know, God's got it. I listened to Connie Airsman. Some of you know Connie from Rollo. I was talking to her yesterday. We had a little Pray Bible Camp board meeting. She goes, Tim, I don't want to sound like Joyce Myers or anything, but I'm starting to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. And I go, tell me about this. The other night I was just so worried. I got all this stuff that's going on and Dub was asleep and I sat up in my bed and I go, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you're Lord. And then I went back to sleep. What is she doing? She's invoking the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. What's she saying? Lord, you're Lord. Why am I all worked up? You're Lord. She goes, I say it until I'm at peace. If you're Lord, you love me. If you're Lord, you'll take care of me. If you're Lord, you've got it. So, I'm going to go to bed. See, prayer gives me time to process and evaluate, sort everything out. And like David, who goes from sad to mad to glad, that journey's ahead for me whenever I just tell my feelings to the Father and just, this is how I'm feeling. Yeah, but don't you have to say a certain words? No, you don't. The certain words are the words that's in your heart. Those are the words you want to make sure you get out. And just lay it out there. I choose. I pray. Number three, I fill my mind with God's Word. This has saved me so many times. When I've been scared. When I've been mad. When I'm confused. Like I told you a few weeks ago, I was in a bad place. When you see your graduates, some of you haven't seen for 50 years. It's emotionally shocking. It's euphoric and sad all at the same time. And what I found, I had a great time. I'm not denying that. I had a great time, but I was a mess when I come home. And when I get in those, sometimes a habit I have, and I'm going to confess to you, I'll look at my phone, go to YouTube, or I'll go and watch a movie. I just want to escape. You know what I'm talking about? I just want to, you know, get a big bag of M&Ms, couple of 2 liters of Mountain Dew, and just, and watch crap. This was going on for several days, and it hit me. I'm going, I don't feel good. Not the M&Ms now. I'm talking about, I don't feel emotionally very good. I don't feel at peace. And I'm thinking, well, dummy, you're watching people shoot each other. You're watching people cuss at one another, being mean to each other. That's what you're watching, right? Yeah. You're watching people be immoral. And you want to know why you're not feeling well. And it occurred to me, I'm going, I gotta shut the TV off. And I put the phone down and I got this book I'm reading called Streams in the Desert, 365 devotionals, all about the purpose of our pain, the purpose of disappointment. And it brings a positive spin. And I read that day and I went, what did I just discover? I got my Bible, started reading my Bible. Just taking a time out from, you know, I don't want to know. I don't need to hear the government shut down. I don't need to hear about what Trump did now. I don't need to see somebody get killed on TV. I just need to shut that off for a minute. I got plenty of political ideas in my head already. God, where's your ideas at? Where's your mind in this? Because you seem to, when you walked on the earth, had everything figured out. And you were always calm and collected. And you didn't let your emotions rule you. Well, that's God's thoughts. So I start reading. And all of a sudden, I'm just feeling centered up again. I'm just feeling centered up again. I'm reminded again that the Bible is the most positive book I can have in my library. You know, when you look at the Word of God, my favorite chapter of all is Psalms 119. That is the chapter. I've got Proverbs, and then right under it, my favorite book is Proverbs, and right under it is Psalms 119. Every verse, all 176 verses talk about the Word of God. It's like a jeweler who's looking at all the different facets of the Word of God and saying, oh, it looks pretty here. Look at this. Look at this. Did you think of this? Oh, I discovered this. Let me give you a few. I'm just going to read them to you. My soul melts with sorrow, but your words make me stand firm. Never forget your promises to me, your servant, for they're my only hope. They give me strength in all my thoughts. How they refresh and revive me. If your instructions had sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. Indeed, your written instructions make me happy. They're my best friends. I walk in complete freedom. What do you mean? I'm free from worry, Tim. I'm free from fear. I'm free from any emotion, any mood that tries to control me. I'm free from anger. How? Why? Because I sought the Lord's commands. I fill my mind. I choose. I own it. I own my emotional condition, and I'm going to choose a better emotion. I talk to my Father how I feel, and I fill my head with His thoughts. Number four, I depend on God's Holy Spirit. I depend on God's Holy Spirit. I love this. 2 Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy, who's kind of a fraidy cat, God gave us His Spirit, and the Spirit doesn't make us weak and fearful. Instead, the Spirit gives us power and love. And look what it says. It helps us control ourselves. If I want to control my mood, if I want to manage my mood, I want the Holy Spirit involved. The Holy Spirit, what we know about the Holy Spirit is, when He hovered over the waters during creation, He brought order to creation. And He'll bring order to your turbulent waters in life. I mentioned earlier that, you know, we have the power to choose, and that's true. But sometimes I need more power than I've got to make the right choice. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because He produces self-control. He helps me control myself. And so what does that mean? Well, depending on the Holy Spirit is surrendering my mind to God. It's letting the Spirit rule in my life and not how I'm feeling. Romans 8, look at this. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Oh, I love this. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Ooh, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Wow. I've worked on small engines almost all my life. I love working on small engines. Not yours, just mine. Somebody's going to come up, I got a lawnmower, it don't work. Too bad, sucks to be you. No, I will help you. We're thinking about having a lawnmower class, by the way, ladies. Not just get fellas, want to learn how to work on a lawnmower? We're thinking of doing it. We've been talking about it during the winter. But I digress. Inside every small engine is this little gear thing called a governor. You don't see it, but it's inside. And what's it do? Well, a governor, what it does is it kind of, if you're getting into some grass, it will it'll pull a little bit on the carburetor and give it a little more gas. It'll compensate. And if you've got it full blown, you know, you've got it, all the gas you get, it keeps it from, you know, throwing a rod, breaking. It controls it. It gets it at just the right speed and just the right power when you need it. The Holy Spirit governs the mind. Governs your mind. But you've got to let it control you. You know, a governor in one engine can't control this other engine because they're not connected. It has to be connected. And you've got to be connected with the Lord. You've got a relationship with the Lord for the Holy Spirit to help you govern your life with peace. Because the Holy Spirit does that. You see, the Holy Spirit gives you what you need when you need it, but it keeps you from exceeding it. Gives you just what you need. And He produces this when we cooperate with the Spirit, when we listen to the Spirit. There's times when the Spirit's speaking to us, and do you cooperate with the Spirit? Do you listen? You say, well, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? Well, if it's in the Bible and it confirms it, guess what? It's the Holy Spirit. And there's this thought that comes in out of nowhere, and it's Bible-based. The Spirit's trying to govern you a little bit, maneuver you, help you. Just like the mind, when it's governed by the flesh, I'm governed by my appetite, governed by my lust, governed by my moods, governed by my desires. They lead to death. You're going to throw a rod. The mind governed with the Spirit keeps everything good, keeps everything working like it should. And it's governed by the Spirit. Look what the Bible says here in Galatians 5. But the Spirit produces the fruit. This is what it results in, these kind of things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and look at that, self-control. There is no law that says these things are wrong. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their old... That's important. Those, it says, who belong to Jesus have crucified their own sinful desires. They've drawn a line in the sand. They've made this choice. It says, they have given up their old selfish feelings and the evil that they wanted to do. What have they done? They've given their life to Christ. What's Paul say? I've been crucified with Christ. Not that I live, but Christ lives in me. And by living in me, when God's Spirit rules in me, then He produces much better emotions, greater emotions. Alan and I were talking earlier about this idea, hooked on a feeling. What are we talking about? The feelings that hook us and we got to get off the hook? Or are we going to talk about any feelings that God wants us to be hooked to? And we hope that this series is going to do both. Okay? Number 5. If I want to manage my mood, I see, I make a choice, talk to the Lord about it, fill my mind with His Word. I really surrender the Spirit. I really let the Holy Spirit have His way in my life. And number 5, I find peace in Christ. And the Bible has forced me to talk about this morning, okay? Because I thought, what? And when I look at scriptures about emotions and how they're connected, and when our emotions get the best of us and rule us, I notice something, and that is that a lot of unmanaged emotions can be traced to mental unrest. I get all worked up. I'm bothered about something. Don't even know really what it is. And because of that, because I make all these choices that I regret. And this mental unrest, I think, is somehow connected to a poor relationship with Jesus. See, something happens. Here come my emotions. This happens. Here come my feelings. And instead of talking to God, or maybe even talking to a godly person in my life and bouncing it off of them, I talk to myself. I trust myself, see? And I talk to myself, and it goes round and around and around. And usually when I'm doing this, I don't know about you, but I find that it starts exaggerating and becomes this monster in and of itself. How many times has this happened to you? I'm going to meet with somebody. We're going to have a talk. Oh, what's it going to be about? Oh, I bet it's going to do this. I bet it's going to happen. I bet it's going to be like this. Next thing you know, I'm so worked up. And then you have the meeting, and you go, well, it's nothing like that. Well, I just got fooled again by emotions. And I didn't talk to the Lord about it much. I don't, I I have turmoil that's keeping me from thinking in a rational way. I need the peace that Christ gives. Here's the Colossae, the church of Colossae. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking. I just think it's funny. This verse is funny. You say, how's it funny? He's talking to a church that's a city that's built on an earthquake fault. You know that, don't you? Eventually, everybody left Colossae because you couldn't build a house and it stayed up very long. It was constantly had tremors and earthquakes. And he's telling the church there that's meeting there. Can you imagine? They come in Sunday morning. Oh, there's a wall down again. We got to build that up again. You know, and Don thinks he has trouble getting help working on the building. Let me tell you, Colossae was a chore. Okay. And so all this unshakable unstableness. And he says, by the way, let the peace of Christ that Christ gives control your thinking. Why? Because you're living in a very shakable time. Everything's all shook up. And if you're not careful, what you're going to be thinking about is what's going to happen. You're going to start worrying. Or something gets knocked down, you're going to get mad. But the peace that Christ gives, it can help you manage your thinking. Let it control you. You need to have the peace that Christ gives. Or how do I get that peace? How do I get that peace? That's a great question to ask. You get that peace through surrender. Two people are fighting. If you want the fighting to stop, somebody either has to stop fighting either by death, or they got to give up one or the other. Give up their life or just give up and stop. I think Luke 14 talks about two kings at war, and one of the kings thinks, I need to ask for terms of peace. He says, and Jesus says, that's how it is when you're going to follow me. You've got to surrender. Just surrender. And the war's over. Surrender. And there's peace. I don't know some of you may not know this. If you're not a Christian, there's a conflict between you and God. A major conflict, a war going on between you and God. You're going to lose. If Christ isn't Lord of your life, you're going to lose. Or you could win by losing, by letting it go and say, I surrender to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says these words, come to me, all you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I'll give you rest. Accept my teachings and learn from me. That doesn't imply surrender. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to learn from you, Lord, because I'm gentle and humble in spirit, and you'll find rest for your lives. The burden that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. I want to say to you, if you're not a Christian, what you're carrying is heavy. Jesus says, come to me. You tired of that? Tired of the way this is working out? Tired of the strain? I'll give you rest. That sounds, what's that? Is that peace? Peace. Yeah. Accept my teachings and learn from me. Because the burden I'm asking you to accept is easy, and the load I give you is to carry is light. Now, I want to say, if you're not a Christian, I want to appeal to you to understand. You drop that load and come to Christ. Study with somebody here. Open your Bibles up and find out what does it really mean to be a Christian. I want you to know, most of you here who aren't Christians have been misled to what a Christian life's about. Jesus says the burden is easy and the load is light. Now I want to talk to you Christians. How come my burden is not easy? How come my load is not light? He says it's light. It says it's easy. Maybe I need to accept his teachings again. Learn from Jesus again. Surrender again and again and again. I think about that. This thought came across my mind just a couple of weeks ago, this idea about, well, Lord, if it's supposed to be easy, why isn't it easy? And he's going, finally, a good question, Tim. Why isn't it? Am I lying to you here? No, you're not lying. You're not lying in your word. Why does it feel so heavy? Why are you so, you're worried, afraid, and cranky? Why? When it's supposed to be so easy. Tim, I just don't think, I don't want to hear this. I think it's so difficult because I make it difficult because I won't surrender. But when I surrender, it's over. The peace of Christ that passes all understanding, that blows my mind, begins to manage my mind. There's just something about that. I choose. Listen, this morning, somebody needs to hear, you need to choose your emotion. You have the power to do that. Own it. Take responsibility for it. Quit expecting somebody else to tell you to snap out of it when you already know you need to. You need to choose joy. I don't know if I can understand it. That's fine. That's when you pray and talk to God how you feel. God, I don't see the joy in this. I don't see how this is going. Choosing my how I feel is going to change anything. It's going to change everything. Get in your Bibles. By the way, I'm not recommending daily Bible study because I'm supposed to tell you that because I'm a preacher. The Bible recommends it. And I'm just relaying that to you. Get in the Bible. Turn the TV off. Turn the phone off. Start reading a Christian book. Something that will help you alleviate a concern or a worry or a fear, and you find confidence and peace. Has the Holy Spirit been talking to you? Maybe He's been talking to you this morning through this lesson. Will you listen? Will you depend on the Holy Spirit? I'm going to depend on you, God. I'm going to depend on the Spirit that's inside me for every believer. If you're not a believer, you don't have this advantage. For every believer, you have this advantage. He speaks to you, speaks to your heart, and you know. It's not a gut feeling. It's a gut that's been led and is being led by the wisdom of God feeling is what's going on. You need to listen to that? Or do you have peace? God wants you to have it. He says, where's the secret? Come to me. And to come to Jesus means I must surrender. And when I do, I'm going to be able to manage. He's going to be able to help me manage my mood. You've got a card in your bulletin. Maybe you want to respond to this lesson in some way. I want to encourage you to write down a prayer request maybe. Maybe there's an emotion that you're hooked by, or an emotion you want to be hooked by. Why not write that down? I want to be able to depend. I want joy in my life. I don't know. I was telling Alan, I don't know anybody that sits around and goes, I look at and go, you got way too much joy in your life. I don't know anybody like that. Okay? You know, I see moments, but I don't know very many people that have a problem being addicted to joy. Maybe that's an addiction we want to have somehow. Maybe you ought to just ask, you know, maybe ask for prayers. Help me get hooked on that feeling. Or I need to get unhooked with this one. Whatever it be, you got a chance to do that. And when you're done, we're going to sing a song. While you're doing that, we'll sing another song, dismiss us. You can put your cards in the baskets as well as if you want to contribute today. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for powerful thoughts today. Emotional thoughts, Father. Would you help us recognize our responsibility? Help us realize it. Father, help us identify the lies that are in our head, whether it's from our own lips or someone else's, the lies that are in there that are governing how we feel, and they're destroying us. Oh, help us see that. And Father, I just pray for everyone here that will fill our minds with your thoughts, because your thoughts are so incredible. And Father, we pray that we'll listen to your Holy Spirit, especially as we leave this week. Really have this renewed devotion to really listen for your voice as you speak to us every day. And first of all, Father, I pray for anyone here that's got turmoil in their life, they're unsettled, unrest. Father, would you grant them peace by helping them find you, reach out to you and find you, open the Bible up with somebody, or maybe just repent where they are as a believer. And promise and just say, Lord, it's going to be different. Again, thank you. so much for this morning. And we do praise you in the name of Christ. Amen.
My only hope is you. My only hope is you. From early in the morning to late at night, my only hope is you. My only peace is you, Jesus. My only peace is you. From early in the morning to late at night, my only peace is you. My only joy is you, Jesus. My only joy is you. From early in the morning to late at night, my only joy is you. All that I need is you, Jesus. All that I need is you. From early in the morning to late at night, all that I need is you. My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning